1, 3, 3, 7.
Welcome back to Lead Speak Live, Episode 6, the video game podcast that is not brought to you by video game producers or game developers. No, it's brought to you by a few guys who love what they do and what they play. I'm going to bring a slice of that love to you. I'm your host, Rapture Rabbit. I'm joined with...
Carleone.
The boy.
And the donkey.
And we have a special guest host tonight, one of my dear, dear friends. And he is here to talk about some video games as well, from a PS3 perspective.
Uh-oh.
And maybe even drop a little comparison on the PS3 version of Rock Band. So, and he also plays D20, one of our great characters. His name is...
Ray Dub.
Ray Dub. That's right. He's here with us tonight at the Lead Speak Live. So, drink check, gentlemen. Boy, what are you drinking tonight?
Seagram's Espresso Vodka.
Is it vodka? Mm-hmm.
I guess it's a vodka.
Mm.
It's Bailey's.
What are you mixing that with?
Bailey's.
Does that Seagram's Espresso have caffeine in it?
Probably. We'll see what happens tonight.
What do you got there, Donson?
I'm doing the Seagram's Espresso with the old Kahlua Mudslide.
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
How's that taste?
Good.
Is it like a...
It's like Mudslide with Kahlua.
What you got, Carleone?
I have some Sterling Merlot.
Ah.
Thank you, David. Thank you, Rapture.
Yeah. That's right. How dare you give out my real name? I live in Washington, D.C. also. So if there's any death threats or anything else, please drive straight through up down to Mexico and then make a right and over the Pacific Indian oceanic bed there, the lake. And then I'm somewhere in that area there.
Water
so
device.
And then yeah. Ray Dub, what you drinking?
That brown drink.
Mm.
No, I'm also getting the Seagram's Espresso.
Ooh.
Sorry. And Bailey's.
I also have some quality rum here. Some Monarch Gold
Monarch.
Rum.
Mm.
Yes.
It's a rum.
Well, it's a product of the Caribbean, you know, so you know it's good. Yeah, clearly. And I'm drinking the old Oregon favorite here, the Fat Tire.
Obese Tire. Huh?
Yeah, this is good. The Obese Tire, yeah. Yes, the well-rounded.
New Belgium brewery.
This works on the, yeah, New Belgium's Fat Tire, which we are living in the old Portland, and we are in Beervana.
Beervana. Beer capital of the fucking planet.
Mm-hmm.
We have the most microbreweries here, don't we?
I believe so.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it's
in the U.S.
Fact. Yeah, I don't know if it's a fact. And if there's any Germans listening to the show, which we know there are, based on our downloads, on our world map download tracker, don't be offended. I mean, we are up and coming, I should say.
Yeah.
We're also up and coming in the old the wine. So we're offending basically most of Europe at this point.
Mm-hmm.
Because the French.
I had some dudes come from Sweden the other day. To my work to taste our beer.
Wait, so the audience doesn't know, you're a bartender?
I'm a bartender,
mm-hmm.
Yes.
In Oregon, which means we've got great beer.
Yes,
mm-hmm.
Yes. And where I work, they actually brew their own beer there.
Nice.
And there was some guys from Sweden, which own their own brewery, come check out our beer.
And they came directly, specifically for that?
Yes.
Cool.
Exactly, to get some ideas.
And were they like, this is piss?
No, they were.
With an accent?
No, they loved it, dude. They were just, you know, using all these slang terms that I didn't know.
Yeah.
Like schnutzen, you know.
Which means poop, as everyone
knows.
Yeah.
Everybody knows.
Shizzle. You guys think shizzle.
Shizzle. But in Swiss. Yeah.
Right.
Which Swiss. Comes out, smissen, or whatever it was you were saying.
We
out.
Do, though, have the most strip clubs per capita.
Yes,
yeah. Nice. Helly, give me that.
Yeah.
Woo! That's right. We love the old strip clubs. Actually, we were just having a conversation today over pizza. A good friend of ours, who I went to college with, actually ended up being a stripper and has bought a house. That bitch.
with strip money?
Yes, with stripper money, yes.
If I was a chick, I'd be a stripper.
Yeah.
It's sad to see an old college friend be a stripper for the first 10 minutes, but after that, after dropping about $50, it was amazing to see double D's up there. Real.
Friendly double D's.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, they're so nice.
Oh, yeah. She was trying to talk to me about the college days. I said, listen, lady.
Just do what you
I didn't
do.
Pay you $20 to talk about the old days.
Do your job.
Yes.
Why don't you exercise those talents you were blessed with? So anyway, good. All right. Well, that's the drink check. And I'm on to your weekend gaming. Carlo, what have you been playing this week? Wait, let me guess. World of Warcraft.
I actually have spent a lot of time over at the local game place.
That's right.
I spent about 30 hours there in 3 days.
Now, again, for the gamers who don't know, or the listeners who don't know, there was a game place in town, which we're not going to give the name out because they haven't given us any money. But We're making a deal. I'm working out the nerve to go in there and talk to them about it. So I'm going to have a few drinks, and I'll go in there with a tie and a little buzz, and we'll see if I can work something out. But anyway, this place, you can go in there, and you can pay a certain amount of money, which is a great model.
Yeah, $4 an hour.
Yeah, you pay per hour, and then you can play basically any game that's on retail right now. So you've been spending a lot of time there this week.
Yeah,
you play?
I beat Assassin's Creed and Heavenly Sword. And
nice.
I liked them both.
Wait, you beat Assassin's Creed and Heavenly Sword?
Yeah, well, I was there 30 hours, dude.
Oh, my God.
In 3 days.
Holy shit.
Yeah. Well, I bought, you know, day passes, so I had to stay all day, obviously.
Right, so it's not by the hour then at that point.
No, yeah. So I beat those games. I played Dark Sector, which I thought was cool for 20 minutes, and then I was completely annoyed with and had to turn off.
Now, you see, remember I was saying that. I was playing Dark Sector, and I'm eating chocolate, so this is... Yeah, it has booze in it, though.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's good. But anyway, so I was playing Dark Sector, and it was great. The first way it opened up, it was a lot of story being developed. Basically, it was like... We watched Iron Man today, and I won't make any comparisons yet, but we'll get to that. But it's like Spider-Man, for example. The best part of the first Spider-Man movie was watching how he got his powers and how he developed his powers and that whole thing. And that's what I felt like Dark Sector had done. Dark Sector caught you with a narrative when this guy is a normal guy who maybe was like some kind of Marine or something. I don't know. He was some kind of soldier.
Black Ops.
Black Ops. Yeah, it's always Black Ops. They never actually say... It could have been S.H.I.E.L.D., and we don't know.
It's something we've never heard of, because it doesn't exist.
That's right. But anyway, it's his character, and he's, you know, building up his powers. And once he got his powers, I would kind of think that at that point, well, now I just have to kind of get through the game. You know what I mean?
I don't know what it was about it, but once I died once, and I was like, okay, well, come back, and I beat that guy, and made it a little bit further, and then I just quit playing. I lost interest, so... Mm-hmm.
But you finished the other one.
Yeah, I beat those games and Assassin's Creed and Heavenly Sword. Now, I like Heavenly Sword, but I understand that it's, you know, it's kind of a button masher. Until you get to the end, the second to last boss, you actually have to know how to play and you have to do some things. So it got good then. But I've always I've been a friend of, like, Dynasty Warriors.
Right.
Stuff like that. Yeah.
It's such a fun game.
It's like that. And so I liked it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It
was like, now, Ray Dove, you said you were playing Assassin's Creed.
Mm-hmm.
You finished it?
Yeah.
It's not a very long game.
Yeah, I probably finished it, you know... About 3 or 4 hours a day, probably about a good week or so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was one of those games that I felt like it was really interesting. It was really beautiful. Visually, it was stunning.
Oh, yeah.
And the parkour engine, whatever it was they were doing, that was amazing.
Kind of repetitive, though.
But it got repetitive.
It did get repetitive, but I liked the whole idea, and I really loved jumping up with my little knife in my thing and stabbing people.
That looked cool.
Yeah.
There's a lot of moments like that. A lot of moments like that were just, I had to keep playing this for the Yeah, plus, I mean, it might have been cool also, just for the strict bragging rights, that you were, like, on a roll and you could get it done in 3 days.
Yeah. Well, you see, I had it worked out perfectly, because I was watching my brother's fiancé's little kid, and so they were paying for my whole passes, and I was just watching this kid who was off the other end of the store.
So you were getting paid to babysit?
And they bought all my drinks and everything there, and you know it's not very cheap, you know.
No, it's not
so
cheap.
I was eating food all day, and big old pops and refills.
And they were out doing their thing?
Yeah.
Awesome, man. That's the beauty of video gaming. There you go.
And then I got a thank you at the end of it, too. For watching, you know, thanks for watching, dude. That really, you know, was cool.
Yeah. You're a good man.
No problem.
Anytime.
That's awesome.
But when they got back, the kid was sick all week, though. Like, I guess eating junk food and stuff. That's awesome.
Nice.
You know what's really sick, though, about Assassin's Creed, which I thought was very interesting, was how much research they actually put in each city.
Oh, yeah.
Like, they actually went through all the history books about what did Jerusalem look back then. Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, I think that was pretty awesome what they did on that.
Yeah, no, I definitely have to agree that when you were in the two different... we were in one area versus the other. They definitely felt very different. It was very unique as far as the landscape layout went, that kind of a thing. And all of those things helped to give the game some real depth, some characteristic that I felt was beneficial and really visually amazing. And again, excuse me, me and Ray Dub were talking earlier, and the boys as well, and we were discussing, I think this game, this first version, it was almost like a tech demo. It was almost like showing what they could do, you know, and it wasn't really, really well developed yet. And I think that that is going to, you know, when they make part two, you know, Assassin's Creedence, whatever it is, you know, then it'll be, it'll definitely, I think, blow us all away. You know, the way GTA 4 did for me, you know, and we'll get to that later on. So, we have some varying opinions on that for sure. Donson, what have you been playing this week?
I've been playing a lot of bartender. So, yeah, I really haven't had a whole lot of time to get any gaming action in.
Yeah, I heard you did like 15 days in a row or something.
Oh, fuck. It was like a marathon.
It was like 40 days of rain.
Yeah.
40 days of
uphill.
40 days and nights of rain. Yeah.
It was hazing. Yeah. But I did bring something with me.
Oh.
I brought
money?
This.
Oh.
They got they just came out with it, the new expansion Magic the Gathering. It's Shadowmoor block.
Shadowmoor.
Yeah, and I just went to the magic shop and I picked up one of the pre-con decks, which is pre-constructed decks. And I believe it's, what is it, blue and white. And the name of the deck is Aura Mastery.
Aura Mastery?
Aura Mastery, yeah.
Now, it says here on the back, Aura Mastery, unleash the power of enchantments. You buff up your own creatures, put the whammy on your opponents. The whammy.
The whammy.
Ooh, nice. That's the
whammy.
Actual technical.
Can I be your opponent?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. When you look under the instructions, does it say whammy under the...
Yeah.
It says, put the whammy on your opponents and then snap your fingers to scramble auras around your whim. Your enemies will grudgingly applaud even as their plans are ruined.
Do you really have to snap your fingers, though?
That's the only way to get it to work right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The whammy effect.
But I haven't had a chance to test it out, but I got the chance to look through the cards, and it looks pretty good. I mean, the whole set is based on hybrid colors. It's like everything's... You can pay for mana as like a blue or a white, you know, versus just a blue and a colorless or whatever. And, I mean, I guess, and then the whole, you know, dynamics of the game is just completely changed. Like, it's, instead of dealing damages and hit points, you know, you can deal them in -1/-1 counters. You know?
Interesting.
Yeah, so.
So you really have some new creative options
with this
new set.
It's really just different. I mean, it's,
good.
Yeah. So I'm really excited about this new set. So.
Yeah. No, as I saw, obviously the forums have been up now and they're actually working. So to all our listeners who tried to get on the forums last week.
Thanks to who?
Thanks to Carleone, who is my tech genius, which we do give you credit on the website. But if you visit www.leadspeaklive.com, you would like to review Carleone's his profile, and he does in fact know what he's doing as far as that stuff goes. I do not. I'm simply the face for radio, so. Because I got a good face for radio.
Yeah.
I didn't make that up. Just so you know, no one's ever heard that before. So anyway, what was I saying? Oh, about the forum. So there's some great topics on there, some great suggestions, and one of the threads on there. And by the way, real quick, not to veer off, but I want to thank St. Jason. Again, he's just one of our straight-up homeboys. If he could be on the show, I would have him on here in a heartbeat. He lives out in the UK, but he's definitely – I feel like he's here with us every week. So, hey, St. Jason, thanks again. And I will bring up an email. He actually sent me an email, which mostly has something to do with you, Carly.
Oh, really?
Yes. I know you haven't read it yet, but I'm going to – well, actually, you might have because he posted it on the MySpace also. Have you been on MySpace this week?
I didn't get it.
Great. This is going to be fun. Okay, there's an email. I'm going to read that live, and I'm going to get your – that's why it's Lead Speak Live, even though it's recorded live and then edited afterwards. We're going to read the email live.
Oh, great.
Yes, and then you're going to have to respond because you got some good questions, some kind of cutting questions, talking about your background. So we're going to figure out – and I'm talking about your –
one.
Yeah. No, your gaming background.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
Not that background. Yeah. Anyway, yeah. That's intriguing. What could he be talking about? Yeah. Anyway, back to the forums. So talking about Magic, there's this great thread that St. Jason and Donson were talking about Magic. Mm-hmm. And there's some great info on there about deck strategies and various card lists.
Yeah, deck building.
Deck building, Some really, really interesting stuff. And we also have some stuff on there about – geez, okay, there's so much. I could probably bring it up and take a look at it. We've got some great stuff on
– movies. You have this little thing on Iron Man right now.
Mm-hmm, yeah. And then also St. Jay brought up Spore. Is it Spore? What was it?
Spore. It's Spore.
It is Spore, is it?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. I know it's but it's made by the guy who made
Sims.
The Sims. Yeah, yeah, what's his name? I can't think of
the
it right
the
now.
The guy that made The Sims.
Yeah, that guy.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
yeah.
He's
a great guy. But anyway, I'm really excited about this game. It's definitely one of those games. Yeah, well, it's going to be one of those games I think that is going to either... I mean, it's going to change gaming, you know what I mean? Or people aren't going to get it. It's one of those games that, like, you know, mom and dad and everyone's going to pick up and go, wow, I really understand this. This touches something inside me that, you know, I inherently understand and I enjoy. Or it's going to be so advanced and so far out there, people are going to stay away from it. And maybe that's the way, I guess, both games are. I mean, most games are. Either they're good or they aren't.
Yeah.
But I think this game, it's not a question of whether it's got... you know, production quality or production value or a decent budget, or they had the timeline in order, you know, to really produce something great. It's about people either getting it or not.
It's kind of like wow there.
Yeah, yeah, it does kind of like wow. Yeah, the graphics aren't groundbreaking or anything, but it's definitely going to be something that we need to keep our eyes on. So
I think it looks awesome. I mean, I was – The Sims 1, man, I got sucked into that game. Well, Sims 2 was a little more difficult, but, I mean, it was still a good game.
Mm-hmm.
But I think from what I've seen of this game, I think it looks awesome.
Yeah.
I'm down to play it.
Definitely.
Create your own character. How many – read the thing. I mean, a lot of people are probably just –
Curious. I don't have it in front of me. I could bring up.
Just read up.
I could bring up what St. Jason wrote.
Yeah.
Let's see. I'm talking about Spore. Let's see. He says it's a cross between The Sims, Age of Empires, and the old game Creatures, which I don't know that familiar with that game, but I can imagine it. I'm based because I understand what Spore. Yeah, Spore is probably building your own, you know, mixing and matching parts and that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. I know in this game generally you start off as an amoeba. Or something like that. You start off as something really, really basic, and your character continues to develop as you evolve, basically.
Yeah, he evolves.
Yeah, and so, you know, based on that, let's see, I brought it up in a Wikipedia, and let's see, it talks about Spore, and I think actually it's talking about literally spores, yeah. Which are thick-walled, rusting spores of fungi. yeah, they're produced to survive unfavorable conditions. Interesting. All right, moving on. Moving on. Anyway, so the point I was making was there's some great information on the forums, and I really want to thank everyone that's involved. We are currently we're up to 6 members now, I believe it is.
Yeah.
So we really need some support here. Help us out.
Some people from my arena team will be logging on there. So.
That's right. And then, of course, Ray Dubb will be on there. And maybe the boy, if he's ever can log out of WoW, will find it in his heart to log in and maybe post something on the forum. So that would be greatly appreciated. Thank you very much, son. Mm. All right. So speaking of the son, what have you been playing this week, bro?
Obviously, the World of Warcraft.
What is this World of Warcraft?
What is this? But I've actually been practicing my Warlock to get better at the class that is very cheap.
I wouldn't actually call it playing.
Yeah, I'm practicing other things that people might not practice.
Here we go.
Fear.
Death coil.
Well, what have you been doing? Okay, wait. First, tell me how do you play usually? What have you been doing up to this point?
Well, the standard way the warlock is played: you dot them up, you fear them off, and then you try to survive. You know, mm-hmm. It's just how to survive their damage. This one, like, I have a Fell Hunter pet, which can do a lot of different things. It can silence you so you can't cast spells for 2 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
It can eat buffs off of you.
Mm-hmm.
It can eat debuffs off me. It's like magic buffs off me. And so I did a macro to set it so I can just click the button and it'll automatically eat the debuff off me. And so I'll just like sit there
So basically you are no
tactics.
Longer manually
actually controlling the pet.
And okay, so that you find that control is allowing you to tactically approach a situation with a little more control,
right?
Rather than allowing the game itself to run your pet.
Yes,
and that is how you're improving your game. Okay, good. So you're basically working out.
Yeah,
yeah. You're leveling
the game.
Playing the montage. The montage is playing.
Yeah. Never gonna ever keep you down. You're the best around. As you're eating chocolate and freaking the mouse. Speaking of chocolate, excuse me for a second. Anyway,
disgusting.
Yeah, don't judge me. So what have I been playing this week? Let's see. Of course, I've been playing WoW. A lot of WoW. I'm up from
level
26. Yeah, and that's of course working my full time job. And occasionally, if she allows, the old, you know.
Yeah, that's the way it really
the
works.
The old patty cake, yeah. Yeah. Actually, I'll tell a bitch like this. I'll be all like, bitch, if you're willing. So, you know, how that goes.
Cake's coming downstairs.
Have a drink. No, it's fine, honey. No.
I have total control.
Yeah.
It's fine.
I was just showing off. Don't worry about that.
She's upstairs, like, with her little hobbies.
Yeah. She's showing me something. That's right.
That's right.
Why is the pool boy upstairs?
Yeah. It's like, no, that's her.
You don't even have a pool.
That's her health. Yeah. No, that's her health instructor, Rolando. They're just working out. She always comes down sweaty because they're working out. Yeah. Showing her yoga moves and stuff. I'm so alone. Anyway, so I've been playing that, and of course, I've been playing... Here he is, the old GTA 5.
Mm-hmm.
Old's right.
Yes. Oh. So, of course, everyone knows, and St. Jason mentioned also, GTA 4 has come out this week. Anyone who's listening to this podcast and didn't know that, turn us off right now. Because you shouldn't be listening to this show. You don't need us to tell you that the game has come out.
We kind of need those listeners.
Yeah, actually, no, ignore that. I was just bluffing. Yeah, I was trying to look badass, but I mean, you guys saw how my wife treats me. So
I was about to say, man, you're my ride.
Yeah, both listeners. Yeah. But anyway, so GTA came out. We give it a whole solid week to listen to. I mean, to check it out, play it, give it the run through. Now, I know you guys haven't had as much time this week to really get into it as much as I have, but I put in probably a good 20 hours. And I am blown away. I know you guys think it's the same shit and blah, blah, blah. But go ahead. You go first, and then I'll tell you what I think. So, Carleon, what do you think about GTA?
I played it, and I did the story for about 7 minutes. I don't know. Was it that long?
If that.
Yeah, and then I was like, okay, it's time to run over people and punch people. And
but you had limited time to play.
We played for an hour, and I it took that long. I don't know. But it's my opinion. It's not really a strong one to go for just because – I'm in RPGs, like, wow. I mean, the game's like that, and it's obvious that's what I play, because I play it 40 hours a week.
Yeah.
So, my opinion doesn't really...
week.
That's being, like, giving myself the benefit of the doubt. I probably put it in a good 60 or 70
he's
hours.
He's a pro league gamer, man.
He gets OT, yeah. He gets some OT.
Shit. It's hardcore.
But, yeah, I just thought it was more of the same. And I hated the way the car steered, so...
That's it.
He runs like an idiot. So.
Ray Dell, what do you think?
I think it was a great game, and I'm not a huge Grand Theft Auto fan. Mm-hmm. I mean, I wasn't the type of guy that waited for Grand Theft Auto, the first one, the second, or third, or San Andreas. But then when my little brother, got it, I was I'll try it out. And like you, I was blown away by it. I think they put a lot of thought into it. And it was one of those games to which, if you're not a big fan, you get hooked instantly. And now I can't wait till future Grand Theft Auto games come out.
Yeah.
Bounce. Yeah. A little chuck in your mouth.
Yeah, chuck in my mouth. Yeah. Sorry. You caught me like, you stop talking when I was swallowing.
Back to you.
Bounce, what do you think?
I kind of thought it was a little more of the same. But, I mean, the graphics were amazing. The car handling was a little... off, but it was fun, I guess. But one thing that did kind of annoy me though is like when you try to go to fight, and you have to lock on to the character you're trying to punch down, and you're just crawling. I mean, you walk slower than normal.
Oh yeah,
You're trying to catch up to somebody to go punch him in the face, and they're just walking away while you're
Oh yeah,
when walking at him with your
when
fist
you
up.
Put his dukes up.
Yeah, when you put his dukes up.
He's like, put your dukes. Yeah, I got no fucking.
He walks
dukes,
half as
man.
Fast.
Yeah,
just
walk away.
Can I just walk up to you and punch you? Yeah. No, you can't.
Yeah, I do see what you're saying.
That was kind of a little frustrating, especially if they're out of their reach and they are, and you're trying to get in closer, and then they. Yeah, you can't do it because they're too slow.
What'd you think, son?
Son? Actually, they did some pretty cool little things that, normally you didn't see in the old ones. Like when you hit it like a wall going like real fast or something like that, you fly out the front window. Little details like that you might not notice.
Mm-hmm.
Also, I seen when last night we were playing.
Oops. Cheers.
Cheers.
Yeah.
Like the door was open and the cops were shooting at you, but like he was like crouched down or something like that and it broke out the window when the door was open. I was like, that was kind of a cool little detail.
Yeah,
I
there's
noticed,
a lot of little things like
little
that.
Little tiny details that, and you normally don't notice. It was pretty cool.
Okay.
Otherwise, it was the same.
Well, if all you negative Nancys are done, hurt my feelings.
I'm going off of like 3 minutes of gameplay.
Right, yeah. I don't have any story bases.
It is a fun game. The only real problem that I have, which is not the gameplay, really, it's just I wish that the writers would have made the characters sound a little bit more afraid, a little fearful, because sometimes when you talk, I feel like I want to jump in the game and whoop the guy's ass.
And you mean the characters on the street or the
No, the actual character you play or we play. You play him and then he gets the guy and you think he's gonna. Maybe it's San Andreas to me, but it's he gets him out of the car and he's like, if that was you, I would run away. It's like, what the hell is that? Say something a little bit more.
I see what you're saying.
A little stronger.
Like maybe the main character's Nico's voice acting wasn't as strong as it could have been.
I was like, oh, you don't want none of me. Then that was it. So.
Well, I'll tell you guys, I think that the game, it's the very first, and I'm probably going to get fucking so much hate mail for this.
You'll get an email from me.
Yeah. I think it's the very first next-gen game to come out so far on these consoles. I think that the – now, you guys didn't put as much time into it as I have, and you haven't done the multiplayer and things yet. So really what you've seen, the scope of what you've seen, is pretty limited. You haven't seen the story develop the way I have. And I'll tell you right now, when I got up, I mean, I went down at midnight, dragged my wife out down to the house and said, hey, we're going to Walmart.
She came with you?
Yeah, and don't tell anybody I went to Walmart to get this game, please, because I'm embarrassed I had to go down there. But I went to Walmart because it was the only place I can go without a pre-order and pick the game up at midnight. I am not a fan of the pre-order. I sort of boycott the whole system. I think it's unnecessary. And be unless you're giving me a t-shirt or something, I'm not going to pre-order anything. So
right. I pre-ordered the new WoW.
You did?
Oh, yeah.
Did you get a t-shirt?
I don't need a t-shirt. I have a t-shirt signed by the developers.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, you went to BlizzCon.
And a bracelet.
And a bracelet.
This is a true elite gamer. I apologize. But anyway, I really didn't decide. I wasn't sure if I was going to buy it, you know. And right, you know, days before the release, there was so much hype that had been built and developed. And I started kind of getting getting sucked into the hype. And I was like, oh, God, this is going to be great. I got to go ahead and check this out. So the day of, I'm at work, and I'm deciding that day, you know what? I got to pick up this game. I need to play this. I'm going to pick it up, and I'm going to check it out. So after work, you know, I decide I'm going to go ahead and put $60 aside and run down to the store and put it on the old charge card. So I'm going to have $60 laying around. You know, I got bills to pay. Shit. Yeah. But anyway, so I went ahead and brought it home, and I played from, you know, 12:20, whatever it was to get me, you know, from till about probably 4 in the morning that night.
But it worked.
Yeah, and I was like, because I was excited. I was like, oh, this is great. And then I took the whole next day off work. And I played all day long the entire next day. Now, I'll tell you what. By around 5 o'clock that next day, I was pretty sick of the game. I was like, you know, this is the same shit. The same way you guys are feeling right now. And I actually kind of felt that way that evening. That first night, I was like, this is the same game. I played this before. There's something really special going on here. But then it started to evolve and more happened. It started to... The story took this turn. So you obviously, everyone knows this game, but if you don't, you're playing this immigrant who's not Russian, but he's from some sort of Eastern European country somewhere, and he comes to America and has to kind of build his way up from scratch. And there's these great characters. There's his cousin, who I can't remember his name because he was so... Yeah, Roman. Yeah. And there was Manny, and then there's Saint... What was his name? There's like a Jamaican guy. You haven't seen a Jamaican guy yet. And he has these girlfriends, and there's all these characters. And there's another one who's like this roid steroid freak guy, Brucey. And at first he kind of annoyed me, but these characters all develop, and they begin to develop relationships with your character as the story develops, and it becomes very the story becomes very enriched, and the world becomes very alive and three-dimensional. And these characters who I really couldn't stand, but really didn't find very charming, they sort of grow on you because you go through these situations together and you see how you're affecting their lives. And not only that, but the narrative of the story continues to evolve because your character, Nico, for the first time in any of the GTA series, is talking back. So he's talking to these characters, and there's actual interaction happening with your character.
What you say?
You don't get to choose what you say, unfortunately. You know, there's no role-playing element, really. But the narrative is so much more genuine because you actually are – it's like reading a book rather than role-playing a character one-sided, if that makes sense. Rather than watching a movie, it almost feels like you're a part of something bigger than just – the game itself, with the characters you're interacting with, you're part of something big. And then secondly, Nico, the character, when he first came out, I mean, you saw the screenshots. I wasn't impressed. This guy looks like a dork, you know what I mean? He's got sunken eyes and a stupid head, and he's just kind of goofy looking, you know? And I didn't like his accent. And then as the game progressed...
It was half our listeners.
And yeah. Right, yeah. Well, his... He really begins to be... He becomes kind of charming. He's likable after a while. You start to like him, and then he... He's smarter than he looks or than he seems. He's actually really smart. The things he says and like, dude, it's just yes, it's just a great, character.
Are you prejudiced?
I'm talking about this character. I'm not making generalizations.
All Russians are dumb.
Don't put your racist line. Spoon in my mouth, man. I don't want none of that soup of hatred that you're just trying to feed me here. Anyway, No, but what was I saying? Oh, so that was that. And then I played the multiplayer, right? After a while. Well, then secondly, okay, real quick. So back to the game. So then the physics are great. There's so many little details in the textures and the maps. And then even like if you guys have a chance to watch the TV, like I did this thing where when I started the game the first time, I wasn't even out of the house yet. And I turned on the TV that you're in the apartment that you start out with. And there's these great shows that are on there. It's like this... There's like this I'm Rich show. It shows like all these brats. It's like they're talking about like I'm Nikki Hilton and My fake tits are stuffed with rubies and diamonds, and I keep this miniature chihuahua in my vagina. Like, that's how rich I am. You know what I mean? Like, and so they make, like, this great commentary about the social situations here, you know, in the U.S. Actually, throughout the world. And then they have this other skit. Oh, my God, it's great. I can't remember what it's called, but it's called, like, the Galactic Defense Federation or something. And it's got these characters who are, like, kind of Halo-esque. Like, they look like space marines, obviously, but you can see through their helmets, their faces, and they're all, like, these little rednecks, and they go to, like, this alien country or something, this alien world, alien country, alien world, and the aliens are like, no,
Russia.
Yeah, exactly. And, well, somewhere in the Eastern Province, obviously, yeah. Not specifically Russia, but anyway, so it has these aliens are like, oh, we come in peace or welcome, you know, Earthlings, and we hope to build a friendship, you know, to spread peace throughout the Galactic Empire and yada yada yada. And these characters are like, what? That sounds like some terrorist space talk to me. Like, what's he saying? Or Billy Bob? And Billy Bob's like, I don't know. He's using some kind of space talk with big words and stuff. And then he says, what does he say? He says, well, we gotta kill him or something like that. You know, so basically it's this commentary about how the U.S., you know, we do retarded things like that. And maybe humans in general, you know, we're always, you know, that whole, what do they call that? That, damn it, when you want to, like, conquer the world, what's that called?
Ownership of
no,
the world.
There's an actual, like, not
global Carpania, domination.
What is it called? Manifest destiny.
That's the one.
Yes. And so, you know, there's this need to have to, you know, explore and conquer and that kind of a thing. But anyway, so and it's just great. And I keep thinking, where are these writers? Why aren't they writing for television and for movies and things? Because it's really, really great great writing. And so then there's that. Then there's talk radio.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Love the talk
radio. Hilarious.
That's why she's fucking your best friend.
Yeah.
Random.
Because you don't have a ruby stuffed brassiere. That's why, basically. Yeah.
So you know what's cool about that, too, is, like, the whole talk radio thing. I haven't really seen the TV part, but, like, if you sit there and just listen to the talk radio, I mean, mm-hmm. it goes on and on. It's, like, 2 to 3 hours worth of just, you know, gold.
But it's well written.
And it's well written,
But that's what they've done with this game. That's an example of how they take it to the next level. The way they did talk radio... That's what they do on the television. You can, like, flip through channels, and they have different commercials, and they have different – not to mention the internet. You go to, like, a internet cafe, and there's hundreds of pages of, like, fake web pages.
Check out your own MySpace on there.
You get emails. Yeah, you get – I don't know if there's no MySpace, but – well, it's not true internet. You know, yeah, it's all fake within the game, yeah. I don't get jokes, Donnie. Yeah. I don't get jokes.
You sound too literally.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway, and so that's those are examples of how that sort of level of richness, you know, has been painted over the original game. You know, but again, it is the same game, and it's not like they're not going to make another. They're not going to make like GTA 4 or whatever, and then Pac-Man. You know what I'm saying? They're not going
to
make
de-evolve it.
Yeah, they're going to stick with the same sort of principles of the original game, and you know those. And then the certain mechanics are going to be the same. In this game, they've taken that principle, the original formula for GTA, and they basically condensed it. And in condensing it, they've taken what they've made. And made it that much richer, if that makes sense. So,
almost as good as WoW.
Almost as good as WoW, yes. And so, again, the story's great. The amount of detail. I mean, I've been cruising around, and there's stuff happening around me that I have nothing to do with. You know, there's like, you know, people getting mugged on the sidewalk. There's cops arresting other people. There was one point where there was this big fat cop, and he was, like, chasing somebody. I came out of my house, and he's chasing someone down the street, like, oh, stop, whatever. And the guy's running off. And the fat cop can't run as fast as the small guy. And so he throws down, and he's like, he goes, I need to lose some weight if I'm going to get some medals, you know. Like, and he turns around and puts his gun away and starts walking like normal, you know. And there's a lot of little moments like that. That exists throughout the game that just give it this layer of reality that has never existed in any game I've ever played. The fact that you can go anywhere and you can't walk into all the buildings. It was one of the rumors they were talking about when the game was sort of being developed. Well, I guess there's WoW. You can do that, yeah.
you're like,
I know.
You're like describing WoW.
I know. And that's actually a good comparison. You're right. But the difference is all of the characters in this game are single player. They're not real people.
They have that. The NPCs.
No, I know, but I don't think the level of interactivity that
exists.
They
go around, they do stuff.
Not on the same level, I don't think.
I'll show you. You're level 26. You haven't left, like, three towns.
Oh, so you mean there's like playable NPCs that run around with you, like in parties and stuff? And
you, well, you have to protect them while they go through stuff and everything.
Well, I mean, I've seen that before. Yeah, I've seen that before.
There's little stuff. You'll see it. Yeah. And then in the expansion, there's supposedly, I can't really go into because, you know, how Blizzard is, they don't really describe it exactly. But there's going to be the same type of thing, but maybe even on a higher level.
Wow.
The way they describe it.
So you're comparing World of Warcraft to GTA in, like, its quality?
I don't think that they're comparable at all.
No, okay, that's what I'm saying,
I don't
too.
Think that GTA comes even close.
I think once Grand Theft Auto can have warlocks and hunters and druids, I think that would be a great game.
If you ride up against each other, one of the
hunters or something like that, and you kick them off their beast and ride off with them and curse at them, you know,
that would be awesome. Yeah, well, you can, you know, do certain things. I know how to say some words in Orcish.
I've mastered that.
I don't know, man. It's hard to compare. The games are totally different. I mean, I understand the points you're making about like the freedom that you feel in this game.
But you can interact with the people, and they are doing stuff.
Yeah, but Warcraft doesn't have the same like snarky sense of humor that GTA has. It doesn't have the same like
they
hipness.
Have stupid sense of humor, kind of.
Yeah, no, they're fun, and I love the game. I'm not. I'm a fan of both. I've been struggling all week to get both into my schedule. You know, and honestly, and I had to tell Em one day, no, you cannot give me. You can't snuggle my balls today. You can't favorably. Lovingly, you know, mouth my penis because I'm playing GTA today.
I think it's Shadow Labs, but you're fighting the final boss in Shadow Labs, which I believe it is Shadow Labs, but I don't remember which one it was. But this little gnome guy comes out to the PC and he starts talking crap to the Blood Elf guy up there, and he interacts with you and he helps you out while you kill the final boss.
That was one example.
Well, that's one right now.
This is constantly going on.
But it's constantly going on in like little daily quests and everything all over both worlds. There's two worlds.
Yeah, I understand your point you're making, but I just don't think they're comparable. I think that they're...
Because it's not pretty as pretty, or...
Well, that's important, though.
This is a highly, like, multiplayer game that can't have those graphics. That's the main reason why WoW is the best MMO, is because it runs
streamlined. It is compatible in so many... Yeah.
Well, and it just runs so well, and the, like, PvP is so smooth in comparison, and it's mostly super balanced.
Yeah.
And you couldn't do that with a game like this unless they would spend more time balancing it.
Well, you haven't played the multiplayer, though. It's amazing.
It's
amazing. Dude, there's this version.
This is coming from like everyone on my arena team that, you know, they all play WoW too, but they played all week at GTA and they loved it, but then they came back because after 20 hours they got tired of it.
Yeah, I can agree with you because I did about 20 hours also, and then I'm like, oh, I got to play some WoW. So I don't know about the longevity. I think that GTA is one of those games that it is definitely an evolution, and it's definitely an evolution in console gaming. You're talking about a PC game, and it's definitely, well, in gaming in general, I agree. Well, hold on, they're two different games, but let me make my point real quick. I believe that this console game is the first real example of what's going to happen on living room console games in the future. Like, this is amazing. It really is doing things on consoles that have never been done before, in my opinion.
Well, but, I'll tell you.
Well, I'm not done. Hold on. All right. Finish shit. Jesus. All right. So now I lost my chain of thought. Damn it. Hold on.
Really?
Hold on. Pennywise making it. Yeah, you're good at this. You're good at doing this. Hold on.
This is what I do.
I know what you do. Hold on. Okay.
Ding, ding, ding.
Round two.
Yes. Hold on. Okay. So the point I'm making is, but here's my thing. I love this game, and I'll probably complete it. I'll probably play it through to completion, finish the story, do some more multiplayer, but I'll be done. But I'll never be done playing WoW.
Okay, well, here's my rebuttal to that. When you bring up the point of consoles, you know, kind of coming to a new age, such as PCs, I think that was inevitable. When you look at the whole system and the whole like OS that's on the Xbox 360, don't you think where it came from there, from like the first one, went towards more like PC? Like, considering it's using PC parts and everything, it's it's like a PC.
Sure, yeah. No,
so
I don't think that
it was this game. I think it was just an inevitable thing that
happened. But that's what happens, though. I think that you have like, see, like there's like PCs and then there's consoles, right? And what happens is it's a different sort of scale. Like consoles, okay, well, PCs are a constant evolution. They're constantly evolving over time. Whereas, PCs. PCs are constantly evolving, you know, piece by piece. There's a new card coming out, a new processor, a new RAM. There's always,
a leapfrog.
Exactly.
Thing.
Exactly. And then a console will come out with a new next gen system, and it's for $300. You can buy a system that, you know, $600 lately, whatever, that is going to leapfrog a comparable system for the same amount of money on a PC.
Same amount of money.
Yeah. And then the PCs will continue to evolve, and you know, they start to leave the consoles behind, and then again you'll be able to get something that's So it continues to it leapfrogs over the one over the other. It continues to sort of evolve.
Well, that's my point. Yeah. Consoles. I don't think that it was this game that brought it there.
This is the first example of the games that's showing people have been playing PC games like not Crisis, Crisis,
well,
yeah.
Final Fantasy Online. I mean, there's been these MMOs on console games.
No, but what I mean, okay, yeah, but what I'm saying is that I'm a PC gamer. I came from PC games, and I've always believed that PC games, they obviously drive the industry, they drive technology, obviously, you know, but they'll never be as, on the consoles, consoles will never be as robust and as just involved and, well, like, you don't have to be as, I don't know. It's like the learning curve is bigger usually for PC games. They're more for adults or something. Yeah, I don't know. I can't explain what it is. Yeah, but just there's more going on there. It takes more dedication and more money and everything just to really be a true. And because of that, the technology is going to be better. And because of that, the game is going to be more in depth and maybe perhaps a little bit more intelligent. I don't know. But console games.
That's probably why I play PC games. You play console games.
Probably why, yeah. But see, I also like I like to go both ways. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, yeah.
I always knew that.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, it's, I play console.
Finally comes out.
I play console games.
Rapture
Rabbit. Yep. I play console games, then I have to go buy PC parts. That's why I'm buy. You know what I'm saying? To play my PC games. But anyway, so, you know, I understand both theories. But the thing is for me was that it's a leapfrog effect. I'm right now playing console games because they're cheap and they're easy. They're not cheap, you know, really, anymore.
$60.
Yeah, they're not cheap. That's a whole different subject for another day. And they should definitely have games coming out for $40 and $30, depending on the quality of the game. Yes.
Development GTA, costs
much
more now, though.
Yeah, GTA, though, is a $60 game.
It's worth it.
Iron Man doesn't need to be fucking $60. I'm sorry. No. How many more copies of Iron Man would they sell if it was $40?
There's an Iron Man game?
There you go. Exactly. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And that's the point
there
I'm
is?
Making. Is, yeah, there is. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Well, I didn't know it was out already.
This was last week, man. You Bull made fucking the new... I don't know. I'm just saying. Yeah.
I've been in my cave, dude.
You just see the outside.
Yeah.
Well, the thing with consoles are, and like Rapture said, that they come out... They stay out, you know, it just gets a little bit bigger and bigger and bigger while the console stays for 3 or 4 years, mm-hmm. and then it leapfrogs up to the next gen.
Right,
and
which
then,
is above, usually yeah, better than the average then, PC.
But it's all point. But the PC is always constantly moving. You can always buy that something to make it better, to mm-hmm. make it run
processor.
Faster. But here it is with the console, though, that I've noticed. When the next gen console comes out, there's always that one game that you go, wow, that is the game.
Yes.
And with PCs, There's great games, don't get me wrong, but I see it rare to see one of those games on the PC that's just on PC where you go, wow, I love this game, when it comes to the console where you go, wow, that's the game to get. Just like Halo. Just like Halo for the Xbox. Xbox was screwed, but Halo was that game where you go, wow, that's the game.
That's why I bought an Xbox was for Halo.
Yeah,
you can use the Xbox 360 on a computer and play all the same games.
Yeah, no, I know that, and that's great. I'm not saying that, but I think the point that
you can put an Xbox 360 game.
Not an Xbox, but those games come out for PC, too.
Not all of them.
Not all of them, but Microsoft
the
owns
ones.
Them, and they... Yeah. Yeah.
That Windows.
I'm sure Grand Theft Auto
games
4
for Windows.
I mean, you gotta look at it.
I don't know about that. There's been a lot of talk, a lot of disappointment about the reason why this game isn't on PC, and the reason is Rockstar. I mean, they haven't said it officially or whatever else, but the word around the campfire is that they're not gonna put it on PC because of the pirating issue. That there's way too much piracy going on with GTA. That you know what, like that GTA game would have been, and it was on. You could play the game before it was released, even on modded 360s and stuff. There's a lot more work that goes into ripping and modding a 360 and ripping the game and making it all work. There's a lot of work involved, and it's not something an average guy can do. I know Carl Owen probably could. I know as sure as hell I couldn't, but you know, it's one of those things that takes a lot of ingenuity and a lot of effort to make happen. And there's a lot of risk. I mean, not risk, but chance involved in that, too.
For the warranty
exactly.
And break it. And
you don't want to do all that with a console. Nowadays, it costs $600, you know, especially for someone like me who's $600, you know, I ain't paying the mortgage that month. You know what I'm saying? I'm getting my console and we'll work that out later on at the end of the month. They'll give me a call. But anyway, but the point I think Ray Dub was making was that there's there's like an installed base. It's almost like a guarantee you're going to sell so many copies because you know the kids can be able to buy the game, come home, plug it in, it's going to work, you know, and that risk is alleviated as far as, you know, versus a PC. You have to have maybe a better card or, yeah. No, not even a crack. I'm talking about like having a processor that can handle that sort of intensive. Yeah, yeah. And if you can, yes, the games are going to be exponentially better than anything they'll ever put on a console. But there's a whole different level of involvement that exists with PC gaming, which I'm not scared of. I enjoy that. I almost feel like I've accomplished something when a new game comes out on the PC and I'm able to play it. And I really kind of feel like I found something that's not mainstream, that, like, this is mine, don't look at it. You know what I mean? Like, no one else knows about this, you know? And I it's just a whole different level of gaming that exists there, so.
How much did it sell? How many copies? Did it break number one, or?
No. You mean GTA?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sure it did. I don't know.
I don't think it beat out Gears of War, dude.
Gears
of War was...
World of Warcraft expansion sold the most ever of all time.
That's PC, though.
Well, of any game. It doesn't matter, of any game ever.
Wow. You go on PC and console.
No, it was PC and console, so okay. More than any of them.
Okay, so...
But that's the best Halo 3 games. Beat it out with money because Halo was 60 and Warcraft was 40, you know, so it beat out with money.
Who plays Halo anymore, dude?
Well, that was Halo 3 when it first came out. That? I don't know. Nobody.
No, see, this is all divided Halo by 3. Console.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is not going to be
it. But was one
by 40 million. Even better, go by console.
That was the highest one. They
have PC well, right there. Okay, well, let's see. Xbox 360.
8.1.
Well, these are all just 1 million copies or more. This is not like the top selling list of all time. So
I mean,
this
there's 9.5 million people that play WoW.
Yeah.
Top game sales.
I did that. Wow, good thinking.
On Google? Go back.
This is Google. Hold on, I'm looking. Hold on.
That's not Google.
Yeah, yeah.
US video games.
Amazon. That's what I just clicked on. US video game sales. Casual charts.
Game sales charts.
There you go. All right. GameSalesCharts.com.
That's right.
There you go. See, that's why Carlo's here. He's my tech guy. Nah. Don't give him a hard time.
He can help you read.
Listen to the boy. Yeah, he reads the bottom.
And click.
Yeah. I did. I clicked.
Did you?
Yeah, it's loading.
That's why he's here.
That's what the bar means.
Now, did you click?
All right.
Yeah. Girls, sorry, I'm not used to this.
You guys are all both pretty. All right. What is this? I don't know. Yeah, this is the thing you told me to bring up, Barrett.
Jargon that only Carleone could read.
he needs to translate this. Yeah. Two fingers.
Like, let me translate this for you guys.
Layland.
It's all in binary.
Wait, here you go. Top 10 charts.
There you go.
All right, top 10 charts.
That's
still jargon.
World.
Top game games. This is like too in depth, dude.
Yeah. This is some deep shit.
Whoa.
What the hell is this?
Where's the layman's term one?
This is like where's per number store. One, this is like per store.
You know what? This is not right because this has got Cake Mania 2 on it. So.
Hey, that's not Cake Mania 2.
My wife loves Cake Mania 2.
I bet she would.
She does. She plays it on her phone all
the time.
Oh,
is that the one?
Yes. Oh. Cake Mania and fucking Diner Dash.
Who knows? That could be.
My wife's a gamer. My wife's a gamer, dude. Remember I was talking about this on episode 2. Yeah, episode 2 or 3 we talked about who has the most numbers in the gaming market. Casual gamers. Casual gamers play. Fucking Diner Dash. Mm-hmm. And Elmo's Revenge and shit. Yeah. 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 And Hello Kitty Island Adventure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, I like that game.
I was fucking around on YouTube today and I saw they're coming out with Mortal Kombat 8.
Really?
Yeah. They didn't give fucking any information. They had Ed Boon on there talking about it. He's like, oh, it's going to be epic. And then they shut it off. That's pretty much it. But it does exist. Well, it's supposed to be like just absolutely just Mortal Kombat completely reinvented.
We know that Halo 3 sold 8.1 million, so yeah, we can judge up that. So,
well, you know, my thing about here, I'm going to let you, here, let's change places. I'll let you research it. I'll drive. It's fine. You tell me.
I'm really excited about Mortal Kombat 8.
Yeah,
bottlenecking here.
Let's forget this. All right, anyway, so Mortal Kombat, okay, moving on.
Moving on.
You know what we're going to have to do? We're going to have to actually do research after the show and post it on the forum. So
yeah,
if you want to find
idea.
How this ends, I know we're getting a little loud here. I'm going to bring it back. Check out the forums, www.1337speaklive.com. Moving on, Mortal Kombat. You know the thing about Mortal Kombat? It's one of those games that was great back in 94 when I played it, whatever it was, when it came out, 91.
Yeah, Mortal Kombat 1.
Whatever it was. It was an amazing game. I've kind of outgrown it. I think there's games that are so much better and offer so much more gameplay and there's so much more in depth.
I think that the whole fighting genre in general is... I mean,
it's
what happened to it?
There's like nothing,
The only game that I can think of that really stands out in the whole fighting crowd is Street Fighter.
Yeah,
you know, times.
Even the old school ones, they're still holding up.
Oh, well, yeah.
The last fighting game I was really excited about.
And maybe I'll even say Tekken.
Well, Tekken
Soul
is great.
Calibur 2 on Dreamcast was awesome.
Soul Calibur 2 was good, dude.
But, I mean, they're garbage.
Well,
dude.
Street Fighter, they're coming out with a new... I mean, this is what I'm talking about. They came out with the original... Well, hold on. They came out with the original... they re-released it on the XBLA, the Xbox Live Arcade.
Yeah, the HD one.
Yeah, and I paid like $10 for that again. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
And now they're coming. No. That was the original one, like 2 years ago.
Oh, yeah.
And now they're coming out with an HD version, which I'm gonna buy that one.
Yeah.
And then after that, like, soon coming, they're coming out with Street Fighter, or whatever it is, a new version of Street Fighter. Yeah. It'll be Street Fighter like holograph in your front room. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. Actually feel the punch.
Punching candy.
Yeah. Awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. You wear a vest and like a helmet, and then like there's like people with sledgehammers that stand next to you.
Don't get these ideas away.
Yeah. Yeah. Cool. Oh, it's all patented by Rapture.
Yeah.
All rights reserved. But anyway, I agree. I think that there's longevity that exists there. I still want to do Chun-Li. Yeah, and I'm a grown man now. I'm 30 years old, and I wanted to do it when I was like 13, whatever it was, and that still is a passion I hold dear. Mm-hmm. In fact, my wife, if I turned the lights off real, real dark, and she lost 80 pounds, she would almost look like Chun-Li's older sister. Wow. Yeah, so, yeah.
That's close, though.
Mm-hmm.
Thank God she's upstairs. But from the little leaked information that I got on it, they said, I mean, they were saying that it's going to reinvent fighting games. I mean, that's how
I don't think
there's no such thing.
I think it is dead, and I think there's going to be that small portion of people that are still into it, but it's never going to be how it used to be.
How it was.
It's never going to be in that
the golden age.
Yeah, the golden age. Yeah. And like, you know, one game that doesn't get a lot of attention, I thought was a good game. I think it's called Ultimate Fighter. Ultimate or something. Well, maybe. That's how smart I am.
Yeah, maybe Killer Instinct.
Yeah, I was thinking of.
They did make an Ultimate Fighter game.
Yeah, there's the one where it had, like, the guy that was all drunk and he's all...
Virtual Fighter.
Virtual Fighter.
Wow.
All right, great. Yeah. Great, great dumbass.
Man. What's up, Elite Gamer? Yeah.
Woo!
Yeah. Anyway,
he's
a guest. He is a guest host. Anyway, so Virtual Fighter. I thought Virtual Fighter was one of those games when it came out that was I couldn't believe what I was looking at. When I first like walked in the arcade, I was like, oh my gosh, they look real. You know what I mean? Like it was real looking to me, the way they moved. Now it looks like matchsticks fighting. It's like Lego
cardboard box.
Yeah, like if I was to spill Legos on the floor, it would look more realistic than these characters looked, you know?
Yeah.
But the way they moved was what really was intriguing. Yeah. And that whole mocap thing, you know, motion capture and so there was a lot of it was almost like an enlightenment kind of occurring at that time. It was like, you know, like the golden age, like you said. And they took elements of, you know, Street Fighter and Mortal Kombat and all these things, and they put it, you know, this first true 3D game where you could actually sidestep and these kinds of things. And there was counters. They introduced counters. And,
ooh.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, I was like, what the hell? Yeah. And so and these games, you know, they almost got cluttered and sort of, you know, they started throwing characters in there to sell toys and just – it got kind of – just it convoluted, and it wasn't as the way it used to be. You know, it's not pure and clean the way it was once or streamlined. And now they're moving back towards that with the new Street Fighter. They're eliminating the combo system is what I heard. And eliminating that, not combo system, I'm sorry, the counter system.
Counters. Okay.
Yeah. And juggling and that kind of thing. They're eliminating all that. And they're really trying to simplify the entire system. Not to the point where it's a button masher, but to the point where you could sit down, you could button mash, and you could win.
Yeah.
You know, you could, you understand what a punch is and a kick is and that kind of thing. But the mechanics get in depth with the game and really try to understand the game, you know, on some deeper level does exist as well. So there's almost two different levels of play. So casual gamers can enjoy the game as well as people that really want to really exercise technique and practice and that kind of thing and evolve as they play. So that's, I think, something they're really trying to work on is finding a balance between both types of players.
Yeah.
That's what happened, I think, you know, is that a divide began to grow between the two segments because people that just want to play, want to pick it up and have a good time and play, and there's people that, you know, it really is almost like a profession for them, you know, and they really...
Master every character.
Yeah, every character and every combo and everything.
That's the way it was fun, though.
What happened is, that was fine. I'm not talking about mastering a character because I was pretty good, too, for a while.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm talking about to the point where the standard gameplay evolved and changed to the point where it was almost a different game. The basic mechanics changed.
I know exactly what you're saying. Like, I remember when Mortal Kombat 3 was out, you know, and like
in the trilogy series.
And the trilogy series, me and the boy, we would fucking master every single character.
Every character was different.
Yeah, every character was different. And then they, you know, they started getting into the whole 3D polygon, you
know.
Mortal Kombat 4 came out, the sidestepping, and it just became a lot more work, you know. It was more effort than it used to be, you know.
That and every combo was the same for every character. Yeah, it kind of bugged me.
Well, for 4, but like I'm talking about like when they came out with like Mortal Kombat Armageddon and
all that stuff.
Yeah, it was just so like it was just so much different than what we were used to, and it was just, you know, it wasn't as fun.
Not only that, too, but I remember back in the day when I did Hadouken, or I threw a Dragon Punch, whatever, it felt like the movement on the pad was relative to what I was doing. It wasn't an arbitrary combination of buttons and pad presses.
I know exactly what you're saying.
Yeah, it actually...
And I'd say, too, like if you go to, like, say, Street Fighter... whatever,
mm-hmm.
you know, with the kind of the cartoony characters, mm-hmm. and then they remember they tried to do
the sprites,
and then they tried to do the Street Fighter EX. Do you remember those ones?
Mm-hmm.
And so they tried to do the whole Street Fighter kind of meets Tekken kind of 3D sidestep, and it just with the old school style, it felt just much smoother. Like you know, like you do the Hadouken and he does it, mm-hmm. versus with the 3D polygons, and you know he sidesteps and then he kind of moves forward 3 inches and then he throws a fireball.
Yeah,
you know, it's like. It changed the game. Yeah. It didn't feel like Street Fighter.
That's why I'm excited about the direction that this company is moving towards with the new Street Fighter series, is that I feel like they're coming back to the basics. They're mm-hmm. coming back. They're making baseball again. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's not going to be ultra-extreme baseball, you know, neon lights and shit.
It's just
going to
be robots in the outfield, not actual players.
Because that requires so much effort.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And sometimes when you try to put too much into the game to make the game better, sometimes it actually hurts the game.
So
you have to simplify it, you know?
Absolutely. So. Absolutely. And just like they did with the Star Wars films, that's a whole other... Whoosh! Midichlorians, your curse words.
Uh-oh.
Anyway, so what else is going on, gents? Anything else going on?
What's that new game out that it's supposed to be kind of the horror game, the new one? Condemned 2?
Yeah.
You know, you were very happy with that.
Yeah, I played that game. Yeah. You were there. You heard my rant. I went to the local game shop to go test that game out. And it was another one of those fucking games where I couldn't change my controller. And it just pissed me off.
Oh, yeah.
Little girl.
Cannot change his control style.
No, so because of that, it might have been a wonderful game.
It might have been the best game on the planet. Yeah. And they've lost a sale because of that.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I was like, all right, let's, you know, move on. Let's go, let's try Army of Two.
Same
fucking thing, dude. I could not change my
controller. Now, for someone who might have missed the last episode, Donson is a player who likes the classic...
Southpaw.
Yeah.
It's not even classic.
Well, it is. Southpaw came from playing...
came from Duke Nukem 3D.
No. It wasn't 3D.
Yeah, it was. Duke Nukem 3D from Nintendo 64.
Oh, they put a release on 64? Yeah. I was thinking of GoldenEye.
Or GoldenEye, yeah.
Yeah,
but you could change your control style on GoldenEye. There was the option to change
it. But there was the joystick on this side, and there was the stuff was on this side. Uh-huh. So you had to play Southpaw.
You could choose, however.
I never played
Southpaw.
He never played Southpaw.
Duke
Nukem 3D, I think, was the only one that.
And it required that?
And it required that. Oh. That's how I learned.
And that's where you got tainted, huh?
Yeah.
Mm.
But maybe you should relearn, you know?
I've tried. I have.
Trying is lying.
But you'll try. You'll learn at that time.
But it's so ingrained, you know.
You don't want to switch.
Well, you know, I've.
Hard headed.
Here's the thing is I've gone in, I've tried playing. You know, whatever game.
As soon as you start to panic.
And as soon as I start to panic, I just...
I know what you're saying.
I'm running into walls.
I've done it with the inverter.
I can't aim, mm-hmm. you know.
I've done that thing where you're like, you're playing a first-person shooter or something, but you're switching control like back and forth or mm-hmm. something, or you're like, you're swapping. Like, you ever play like a fighting game and one person changes the pad?
Yeah.
And then like,
they change fierce punch to weak punch.
Yeah,
or something
like you're
that,
like,
you know?
Fuck, and then you have to switch it every time.
Yeah.
And it's just like, why can't you play like me, you know?
Yeah.
Why can't you play normal?
Adapt.
Your adaptability.
I just take the controller and I, boom, I'm there.
And you win anyway.
That's one thing that can really ruin a game, though. Like you said, when you put so much effort in making this game way better, but then you take away different options on just how to make the control to how you like it, then it ruins it. I know because I'm not as big when it comes to these games. You guys are talking about when it comes to sports games like Madden and baseball and all these other games. Madden, I love Madden. Madden's a great game. One thing that sucks about it is when you do career, And let's say you're the quarterback. A lot of times you're the quarterback on the career mode.
Mm-hmm.
And how they have the camera set up is you're pretty much looking out of the eyes at the quarterback. Well, sometimes when these linemen stand up, you can't even see what's going on. You can't see what's going on around you, and the camera moves by itself.
You're just staring at the asshole.
So sometimes the camera's moving this way, and you're thinking, what the hell's going on to my right? I want to look to the right.
Who do I throw it to?
Yeah, and then if you just play Madden, like just a regular game, I'm going to play a season, or just play a quick game, and how the camera scoots back so you can see who's on your left, and you can see who's on your right.
Mm-hmm.
If they just made that to where the career mode, or even an option to make it for a career mode,
mm-hmm.
I think that makes the game way much better. And that's why I say, okay, well, they put too much on 2008. I'm going to stay with the older game, the 2006, and I'll spend the hour putting the players on the right team and stuff. But how they had the career mode set up on those specific games is where the game was a lot more fun to play.
Right.
And that's why I won't go to that game. Just like MLB The Show, which I think now as a baseball fan, these new baseball games are ass. World Series is ass. MLB The Show 08 is ass.
Really? Huh?
Because the second to last game, if you didn't like the new improvements they put on the game, you could go back to the last year's setup. And the game, if you like the last year's setup, you could still enjoy that, but have the new gameplay and the new advances. But on the brand new 08 game,
Madden?
No, well, this one I'm talking about MLB
uh-huh,
The Show.
Okay. Yeah.
To where you can build yourself from the minors and get promoted to AAA and virtually to the big show.
Mm-hmm.
But on the new 08, you don't have an option to play the style of last year. You have to play their specific style to where it weakens the game and you have no choice. And that's when you start taking the choice away from the game player, that's when it sucks. And these people need to know it kills the game.
Ultimately, I think that is what we all want in games. Think about it. That's what Carl Jung loves about Warcraft, is that you're limitless. You can do whatever you want, basically. And that's what I loved about GTA, especially in the multiplayer. You can do whatever you want, in my opinion. You know, I mean, there's some limitations, obviously, in any video game.
Right.
But it's an open world. It's that open world is what's exciting. And you, if you are limited in any sense, you know, whether it's the avatar you want to build when you're making your character, or the control scheme, in an example, or the team you can pick, or who can be on what roster, or what kind of gun you can use in what game, you know, or the examples you were giving, I don't want to have to go through these stupid combinations or these two characters. I don't have to sidestep my I want to be able to do what I want to do in a game. That's what the fantasy is about. That's why we play games, you know. And I think that all of that is important. And that's what I think we're ultimately all discussing when we talk about this makes a good game and this makes a good game. It's what can we do? What fantasy adventure can we take today? You know, I mean, back in the past, they called those books. But you were limited to what the author wanted you to do, what adventure he wanted to take you on, which is why kids played outside. So they went outside and they went out and they played in the woods and they had the sticks and they played cops and robbers and
that's
stuff.
That's why I always did the choose your own adventure game.
Well, exactly. So game then. But the point I'm making is these games nowadays, they're getting to the point where those limitations are being dissolved little by little by little, and we're getting spoiled to the point where we're getting pissed about, you know, I can run around this limitless world, but all the avatar or all the non-player characters in World of Warcraft don't actually get to go run with me or have a story, a backstory, or all of the characters I talked to in GTA didn't have great voice acting, whatever else. I mean, we're at the point now we're complaining about that. We're nitpicking. When you get to a point in this development of this genre, of this whole culture, we get to this point now where we're seriously nitpicking, guys. We are living in the golden age of video games. We really are, and there's these little pockets of greatness that exist here and here. And look at that! And look at this!
You know,
yes.
Well, years ago, I used to always tell one of my good friends that if they ever, because you know, I love RPGs, turn-based RPGs especially. Mm-hmm. If they were just to make a game where you're just this little square and you need to fight other little squares, and the fucking control was good and the storyline was great, it'd be a good game.
Well, they had those.
It didn't even matter.
It was called Zork.
Zork.
Yeah. Those old, like, action games where you literally, it was like story, it was just text on a screen. And it might be before your time, guys. I'm a little older than you guys, you know this. Yeah. But you would literally type in, like, turn left or walk forward. Yeah, and it would give you a description. It would say,
what are those
you
games,
entered
what
a room.
What are those games called? They're just text-based games.
Yeah, right? I think they're called action-adventure games.
Yeah, there was one that was, you know, had the pictures and everything.
That was a fun. That was my first real exposure to PC games. I mean, that was shit. I was probably 10 years old.
Zeros and ones.
No, there was one after that had a picture of like a woman and stuff standing there. You walk up to him and had a picture of the person that had a fight.
But you would literally start say and what you would say.
Yeah.
And then like hopefully the programmer would put something in there that would trigger you would trigger certain events So I mean that was and those games were amazing. Yeah, I literally had like graph paper and I would map out like what. You know, what I had to do, like, okay, the dungeon was like this way, and this, you know, was by this room. Because it would tell you, you know, south, there was a door, and to the right, you're standing in a room. It's like playing D&D.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Yeah. So
I used to play these.
The graphics were limitless back then.
Yeah. I used to play these games. They were kind of like that. It was the Hugo Adventures. They were the little floppy disk. You put them in there. They had, you know, Hugo Who Done.
What is this
Hugo
floppy disk you speak of? Yeah.
Floppy.
I recommend that you get
it. But go with the iPod?
You might use some Viagra.
Yeah, put it on the iPod. Yeah. But, you know, you just go in and it'd be the crappiest graphics on the planet. But you could, you know, arrow your guy, you know, up key, made him move forward, whatever. And you'd walk up and you'd just say, look. And it would kind of describe on the room. Mm-hmm. You'd see, you know, dumbwaiter. And you're like, oh, open dumbwaiter. And there would be a cake.
Yep.
Eat cake, you know, whatever.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know, those were great games.
They were great games. And so...
The only thing I'm really trying to talk about is when it comes to a game, and the game is a hit game, and then when they try to make another game, it always the successful games are always the ones where they just add on to a great game instead of adding on and then taking some away.
Don't reinvent the wheel.
Yeah. That's. I mean, I think these games are great. Halo was always. I mean, they did take little things, not huge, significant things, but it just got better and better and better.
Rainbow Six,
a great example, and I'm kind of going off subject, but a great example is the first two Batman movies. I thought those were great because
fucking awesome.
Batman is a dark character.
I'm touching myself right now.
It's a dark character, and I think right when they got to a point to where they wanted to make it humorous and funny and make it more of a
shiny,
hey, this is more, you know, this is a family.
Are you talking
type
about?
Movie.
Are you talking about the one with Clooney?
I'm talking about with Kilmer and Clooney. I'm talking about.
Everything after part two.
And then what made this last Batman movie so great is they went back to the basics. Batman was a dark, mixed, confused character.
It was for adults.
It was the character was meant to be dark.
And the mythology was based in reality.
Exactly. Yeah, I think this movie it saved the Batman series.
I think
if this movie went back to the Arnold Schwarzenegger, George Clooney type of movie, I think there would be no
Mr. Freeze.
There'd be no next Batman movie.
Stay cool.
Yeah, stay cool. Exactly.
The new one's gonna be amazing. Heath Ledger.
Heath Ledger, his tongue, you see him?
Yeah.
He's all like...
Yeah,
that looks bad. Yeah, dude,
unfortunately,
so badass.
You know, him dying, you know, is going to bring a lot of people to it, too. A lot of press.
A lot of negativity.
Well, he was a great actor.
He looked like a great actor in this film, for sure. Oscar winning? Did he win an Oscar for...
I think they were nominated.
Yeah, okay.
That was a great
movie. Did you guys hear the whole thing, too, about him making that movie that playing the part of the Joker actually kind of got to him?
Yeah, he
couldn't sleep at night.
He was going through some... He was getting affected by the darkness of the Joker.
The movie he made right before that,
which
really
I respect,
affected him. It was called Candy, which I watched. But he's like really, really bad drug addict, and apparently he had never like smoked pot, and he tried pot for that role to see what it's like, so he could act on it. Hooked on it and was doing it, and he was having problems sleeping and stuff, and so he's taking all the sleeping pills, and it was a mixture of the Joker role and that Candy role because it was
plus
pretty,
his drug use.
It was pretty, plus the
amphetamines and heroin. Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't think there was a
no. Heroin. It wasn't like that.
It was an exaggeration.
It was a pretty.
We don't get jokes.
This is a
serious show. Okay.
Hey,
you take it serious.
Yeah. But it was a pretty serious movie. Like his wife was whoring herself out to get money for drugs and stuff in this movie. You know, so
what's
called Candy.
What's unusual about that?
Oh.
That's what my wife does. What?
Really?
How else did I fund the bandwidth for this show? All right. No. Hey, don't cry. Just put your stockings on.
Just mainline it, bitch.
Yeah. Anyway, speaking of the Joker, we saw the trailer in high def today. Some of us went down to Cinetopia, which is a place here in town that has a high def theater. Oh, it's amazing. They have a wine tasting room, a full restaurant. An amazing place. Mm-hmm. And we saw what, gentlemen?
Iron Man.
Iron Man.
I wasn't invited.
Jerks.
Well,
you didn't invite me.
I did invite you.
No, you didn't.
I had no idea. I got a text going, show later.
I told this fucking prick here.
He told him, but he didn't say
that. Well, then yell at him. Don't yell at me. I'm not. Dude, you guys live together. What do you want me to do?
I got a text about him doing the show.
I'm just making for good radio.
Damn it. Radio. You know what? That's it. It's over.
Yeah, you're done. Our friendship's done.
You're not allowed to taste my nuts anymore.
Don's worth is off the program.
If I ever die.
You didn't invite me.
If I ever die, please don't have him responsible for contacting everyone. My funeral will be the most sad funeral with just the priest
I thought this was a party invite. I got the keg right here. Where's the cap?
I forget the date and I'm playing WoW at home.
Yeah, it's like, oh crap! I was supposed to tell him that he died. Whoops.
Yeah. Oh well.
I got the eulogy right there.
Like, sorry, buddy.
Sorry, bro.
That's awesome.
I gotta go.
My World of Warcraft character.
You wouldn't
dying.
Want me to sit here and mourn. Right
he was sitting in the funeral home with a laptop. all you hear is, and he was a great guy. And
put your macro setting.
Click, click, click. I never saw him play level 1200.
He'll have his headset on, like, okay, got that set to stun.
Yeah, put me back up here again.
Yeah, totally.
Facing a warlock.
Oh, good times. I fucking love you bitches, by the way. Hey, cheers.
Cheers. Cheers. I'm low on booze, but I'll cheers.
Just for sound effects.
There we go.
Oh, empty glass.
Take your hand off my leg.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Your leg?
Yeah.
Yeah, girl.
Yeah, baby. That's cool, baby.
I like that we talked like 5 seconds about Iron Man.
Anyway.
How was the movie anyway? Because I didn't get to
see it. Iron Man. Oh, you're right.
Everybody else got to see it but me.
Now you get to hear about it all.
Yeah.
The end was the best.
The end was great.
Awesome.
Yeah. When Tony Stark, who, in case you didn't know, Donnie.
He's a good man.
Yeah, he's a good man. No, it's Robert Downey Jr., and he does an excellent job, I must say.
Does.
And then it has the guy, I don't know his name, the dude from...
Jeff Bridges.
Yeah, Jeff Bridges, yeah.
That guy.
I mean, yeah. Oh, I know that.
The guy that played the Sasquatch in Harry and the Hendersons. I'm sorry, I'm drinking a lot.
Did he really?
No, he didn't.
I don't know, that's before my time.
Jeff Bridges is the dude. Dude?
Yeah. Oh, is he the dude?
Bro.
He's the dude, man.
Oh, is he?
Yeah.
Wow, the dude.
Yeah. You fuck with the Jesus, and I'll pull my gun up your ass and pull the trigger till it goes click. You try to pull any of that shit on me on the lanes, pendejo?
Nobody fucks with the Jesus.
Anyway, so,
if you have dude.
Yeah, that was
a beastie guy in that movie.
You didn't realize it was the same guy?
He looked familiar, but I just
didn't know. At first, I'm like, who is that guy? Then, like, I started, like, half hour into it, I'm like, that's Jeff Bridges.
That's the dude.
Jeff Bridges.
I know it was.
I'm not
the guy that made me a man.
Brought me into manhood.
What does that mean? I don't know. I don't know, man. Yeah. But it thought it made good for good radio.
Yeah, I gotta say something.
That guy was a beast, though. Like, he was all scrawny in that movie.
No, he wasn't. He was huge in that movie.
He was tall, but he wasn't big like he was in this movie.
He's also 60.
Yeah, he's like 85 and
80.
We continue to grow like elephants.
Yeah, he's like, God, that guy's a beast.
Good times. No, but I Iron Man. So let's see. First of all, the theater was amazing. Right. So if you can see it in HD, which was like, it's like a bigger, it's better than
HD
10,
theater,
whatever
yeah.
it is. Oh, yeah. It's the HD projectors. We sat there, we went into the wine tasting room and we had wine. We had Rothschild and they had, Chateauneuf-du-Pape.
Sounds excellent.
Yes.
What year?
Chateauneuf-du-Pape. Yes, that's it. French wine. I don't speak French. Only French I speak is, fuck you, you're cool. All right, fuck you. Yeah, that's all I know.
That's all he knows.
Yes, but anyway, great stuff. The movie, I wasn't drinking during the movie. If I had been, you know, I don't know. I would have been enjoying myself more, I suppose, you know, but
maybe.
Alcohol always makes for a better.
You would
have
been awake right now.
Yeah. The story, okay, there's a few things I want to say. So the movie was, overall, I thought it was great. A lot of fun. I don't know, it's one of those movies that the narrative was a little slow, like building the character. When they were introducing Iron Man, they're introducing how he was, you know, formed and how he was built and sort of the whole thing. I'll wait. Okay. The sort of the whole thing, it was a little slow, but it was entertaining. I don't know if I could watch it again, was the thing. It was one of those things where it was like, oh, this is fun. But the whole scene where he's in the cave, a little too long. The whole part where he's developing the suit, little long. It was just a lot of moments I think where they could have been cut a little tighter.
Condensed.
Yeah, the scene where he's like learning how to fly. They had like three different sequences or four different sequences
where he's learning how to fly.
But yeah. weren't you saying one of your favorite parts of like Spider-Man was character development?
Absolutely. No, I wasn't done. I was actually going to bring that up.
Okay.
Was that? And I think that's what they were going for. Was that? That's the most interesting part. Okay. Now I'll show you my example. There's a strange like flirting sequence that's happening with Tony Stark and his like Money Penny, whatever her name is. Yeah. Poppy's Worth, whatever her
name is. Poppy.
Yeah.
Happy.
Yeah. But anyway, so there's that. Yes. Pepper. Mrs. Money Pepper. I don't know her name. Anyway. So they're like this weird flirting thing. And that's a lot of fun. And I found that intriguing. That was interesting. And the problem is with that formula, once that happens, I enjoyed that. Once they get to like the second or third movie, they're actually going to have sex at some point in the series.
Boom.
And then that part of like the story thread is going to be done. And now, you know, like that. Okay, my comparison is The Office, season 3.
Well, wait for his point.
Let's hear the point.
Okay,
before we funny comparison though.
Okay, I'm just making.
I'm
I know.
On your side, Rabbit. All right, she said. I'm waiting for.
I know. Here's my thing. In The Office, there was the main character who's played by. Steve Carell.
Yeah.
Okay, then there's the two sub-characters from the main people. There's the secretary.
The guy and the girl.
Then there's the other guy. Right. Okay. And there's a strange flirting thing that's happening there, right? Mm-hmm. At the end of season 2, or maybe it was beginning of season 3, they actually got together. At that point, I was no longer interested in the show. Because it was that flirting, that sort of flirtatiousness, that sort of, you know, you wanted to see what was going to happen next. That was happening in this movie.
Doesn't it in real life, though? Like, when you flirt with a girl and stuff and you finally get it, you have no interest?
Exactly. Yeah. And that's, I think it's human nature. It's sort of some fire. And that's actually interesting that you brought that up. Mm-hmm. And so, I think, like, you know, the second and third movie, if this continues to evolve, it's either going to get tiresome or they're going to have to hit it and then I'm not going to be interested. So that's one like a major point of the story. It was a huge thread that happened. Yeah. And that's what happened in Spider-Man. They did the same thing. It was the Peter Parker was going to get with Mary Jane. And then they ended up together. And I didn't care. By the time the third movie happened, there was some more drama. I didn't care.
Yeah, it was a horrible movie, though.
You know what I'm saying? But the point I'm making is there was the same comparison, the same thread that exists there with Spider-Man and this one, and even The Office, which is why I brought it up, which is television. So obviously there's some very basic formula happening here. Second comparison, development of the superhero sort of character, right? So the first Spider-Man was very charming because it was Peter Parker, he was his dork, and he was coming into his, you know, his own with becoming a superhero and everything, and showed how he was figuring out his powers and everything else. That worked. With this one, not as much. Now, here's what I think. I think Tony Stark was kind of an annoying character. He had everything going for him and all his money. He was snarky. He was, you know, hitting the Maxim models, all the stuff. It's a little bit of jealousy perhaps mixed in with this, but I didn't like him as much as I've liked characters in the past. The only reason why I liked him at all was because it was Robert Downey Jr.
Yeah.
I like Robert Downey Jr. He is charming.
Are you a big fan of Iron Man?
I am. I have comic books from like 68. I can actually rip out right now and show you. I have about 20 years of Iron Man comics. I know the Tony Stark character. No, I think he's a great. And the thing was, the Tony Stark character, in my opinion, and I read them when I was like 12 years old. Maybe it was some more advanced. Maybe the comic book had some things going on there that I wasn't advanced enough as a child to really understand. As far as maybe there was sexual undertones, or I doubt it. There was not a lot of like that going on in Marvel comics at the time. But there was the character seemed a little more hip. Or not even hip, like dark. Not even dark. It's just like not very likable. No, that's not true. I liked him.
Like Robert Downey Jr., but I think it was you didn't want to like him, and you saw that he didn't like himself, and then he went through that transformation with your stuff.
But I didn't believe it, is what I'm saying. When the transformation happened, I didn't believe it. Yeah.
You need to change your opinion that quick, but then again, he was put into a situation, blah, 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 blah.
But they didn't give me enough.
Yeah, they didn't make it believable.
Yeah. And here's the thing, here's my thing. If for people that don't know Iron Man, don't know Tony Stark, I can see, I came from a background of comic books. And I like Tony Stark, but I always thought he was kind of at least by the time I was reading the comic books, he seemed like a decent person. You know what I mean? And that's the person he evolved to. In the movie that we saw that, but he didn't start out
too fast.
Yeah, he didn't. They didn't give me enough. They did sort of the montage, you know, where it's like Tony Stark, you know, and they did that whole like E! Entertainment News sort of, you know.
That's probably
they skipped a stage of development, kind of.
Yeah.
Remember we were talking about last show about how movies stuff get ruined because they don't pay attention to the real story and everything like that. Mm-hmm. This goes back. You know a lot more about
research
movie and stuff.
The story.
Well, they probably had all that laid out in front of them, but they have to hit a certain target market, and so we'd lost out on some of the things you're talking about probably to reach
as a fanboy.
To reach out to that certain market and make it profitable, unfortunately. That's
so
what
hit
happens.
A more general market.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Oh, I see. So it's a very okay. So there's the very basic formula. And here's the thing, though. So I loved the development of Spider-Man, and I loved the development of Iron Man. I thought it was interesting to see him go from like. But then they had four different prototypes, which I thought was interesting. There was a lot of CG. We talked about this earlier. There's a lot of CG that was involved, a lot of character development. But there was a certain point. If I'm seeing a movie in a high-def theater, on a leather recliner, with my wife laying on me, because it's like a couch recliner, you know what I mean? And it just, I'm enjoying the whole experience, and I'm getting bored because the movie is at times a bit too long. They weren't adding a whole bunch at certain points.
Did they kind of do the whole, Incredible Hulk type development? Like, it was just fucking too much? Like, just get on with the smashing and crashing?
I mean, no. There was just stuff going on that didn't really get you intrigued, and you wanted another fight.
Yeah,
so there was only two main. Well,
but see, the Incredible Hulk. It was like there was nothing in the beginning. There was no action at all.
I enjoyed that movie though.
It was great.
Yeah, the
no.
new one's gonna be way better.
Yeah. But yeah, oh, yeah, the preview. I saw the preview before the movie.
We watched it together.
Oh, beautiful. Yeah, but anyway, with Iron Man, yes, go see it. I don't want to spoil anything for you, so I'm not gonna talk about the end of the movie. I'm just no spoilers. But there was definitely some development issues as far as pacing, in my opinion. The pacing in the beginning, and it worked fine maybe the first viewing, which is maybe the only one that counts.
Choppy even?
No, the editing was. What do you mean, like the editing or
just, no? The development was
a
kind of choppy.
I thought there was actually a part in it. There was like another time where Pepper or whatever comes in and he's like, don't worry, this won't hurt you. And he does that and blows out of his hand again. I thought that was like placed. It was like the third time he did that. Or
there was a lot of weird, like, there was a lot of weird moments like that. It was like almost for comic relief, but it wasn't the wrong. And it just, it could have trimmed the movie down. Now, if this was a DVD release, like a director's cut, I would have enjoyed seeing all this.
Yeah.
But I wanted my theater experience, my first times through, to be quick, and I wanted it to be interesting and exciting and impactful with character development, but not excessive amounts of unneeded humor or excessive montages of developing the suit. How many times did we see him cranking a freaking screwdriver into his metallic arm or metallic ankle, or watching his futuristic robotic arms putting together some, you know, version of the armor? I just didn't need to see it that many times. Nice. You know, I got that it was cool.
Well,
I want to see him
comic
use the suit.
Was that little arm thing?
But wasn't it in the comic? Yes. In the comic books, didn't he always kind of upgrade anyway? I mean, didn't he just have the Iron Man? Then he was like advanced Iron Man. And
But that was generational. It wasn't within each comic book. It wasn't like he went from one to the other.
Here's a question for you, though. Mm-hmm. Did you like it better than Transformers?
I did,
I did, too.
Yeah.
I thought Transformers was good. So.
I did, too. I like Transformers a lot.
I liked it better than that.
Before I started, it was overall a great movie. I thought it was a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun. Yeah. Definitely worth the money.
Out of five stars?
It's a great blockbuster. 4.5.
Yeah, 4.5? Yeah, mm-hmm. That's a good movie.
Yeah. No, it's a great movie.
It's not a five like Lord of the Rings or anything like that. But definitely four point five.
It's just editing. I think out of the movie. Yes. But I don't think it's a huge problem.
Not a huge problem.
I think it was a minor problem.
I liked the joke.
And that's why instead of a five,
it is actually pretty witty.
I thought the jokes that he was saying to the girls and stuff was awesome. I was like, yes.
He was quick-witted. Yeah. And he was charming. But that, again, I wonder how much of that was Robert Downey Jr. How much of that was scripted.
That was probably Robert Downey Jr.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah,
it was awesome. Very classic Robert Downey.
Yeah,
man,
that was money.
I think he was the only, I'd probably say maybe only two or three other people that could have really played that character.
Oh, you should ask him about
the
Matrix.
The top of the list.
Okay, well, since we're talking about movies, do you think that the Matrix, now we're talking the Ray Dub here.
Uh-oh.
Do you think the Matrix would be, now don't say anything, you don't say anything, don't
say anything.
Do you think the Matrix movie would be the movie that it is today, which is in my opinion, okay, starting on the idea that the Matrix is a great movie, and you can disagree if you want, Matrix is a great movie.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think it would be a great movie if it did or did not have Keanu Reeves, like it would make a difference at all?
I think it would be a great movie with a selected few amount of actors. I think there are some actors. And let's be clear, the first actor they came up to play it to be Neo was Will Smith.
Will Smith said,
this is a bad idea, because how they came up to him was like, oh, well, it's this guy, he's in this world, but he's not in this world, and blah, blah, blah. And like Will Smith says, oh, well, no, I don't want this. Now, I think Will Smith would have probably, and I'm a huge Will Smith fan, I think Will Smith would have killed that movie. Yeah. I think it wouldn't have been as powerful. Like I said, Keanu Reeves, if there was someone else, I think there are actors that they were in that movie, it would still be a hit. I think Keanu Reeves did a great job, but I don't think only Keanu Reeves. No, I think there are some other actors out there
Name one.
I don't. I'm top of my head right now. I can't do it.
There you go.
Listen. I don't have a Keanu Reeves poster in my bathroom.
I don't either.
I have a Keanu poster.
And I jerk off to it in your house, out of my house.
Mm-hmm. I'm not saying that there's not one, but I can't name one. You name one.
You can go back to the previous episode. I already did all that.
Edward Norton would not. He's doing the Hulk. He's more of a Hulk type.
But that was 10 years ago. The Matrix came out. Whatever it was.
He looks the exact same.
We've already gone through this.
Nah. You guys are wrong. Yeah, you guys are wrong.
What's the movie you love?
I'm agreeing, so we're good.
You're not. That doesn't mean anything.
You're
friends with the Warlock player. Obviously, your opinion is shit.
And obviously, Warlock's on phone.
It doesn't matter who's the... He always points it out to me. Your buddy.
Well, you guys think
it's big. Vice versa. To win the argument, I got to point at him.
You just defend him because you're his cousin, and you like are in love with him. So calm down.
Is it Leeds speak much?
You too. Well, at least Keanu Reeves is. It doesn't matter. Keanu Reeves could. Name one.
Name someone.
Anybody else.
Name one other person.
Ryan.
There we go.
Yeah.
We go.
The boy.
I can do it.
Ryan can barely read his spell name.
Samuel Jackson.
Yeah. Right. Samuel Jackson.
You know, to be honest, I think he wasn't. We just didn't really.
Actually, I watched Snakes on a Plane again last night, just for a little bit, because it was on, you know? Great movie, you gotta check that one out.
Snakes on a Plane.
I'm tired of these motherfucking snakes on a plane.
Speaking of like comic book heroes and movies, did you guys know that they're going to be doing a Wolverine movie?
Yeah, we've been talking about that for a long time.
And they're going to be doing a Magneto movie.
A younger Magneto.
Yeah, yeah.
back when he was in World War II.
World War II days.
Yeah.
Nice. You know, they're hitting those Marvel movies out because I just saw a list today, actually. It was weird. I just saw it, and they're coming out with, I saw Thor.
Is U-Ball going to do any of these movies?
I hope not. U-Ball, he's a director. You know, it's coming from the success of Sin City, all these comic books.
No, not Sin City.
From Spider-Man.
Yeah. But Spider-Man sucked. I'm just talking about, like, the older crowd.
The Aquaman movie, that's what it was from. that's coming out.
You're already signed for a Sin City 3.
And S.H.I.E.L.D.
I think they should do more.
Yeah.
Yes.
But we can't talk about that.
Check out the forum.
Yeah, check out the form.
Marvel 300.
No, I'm not meant 300, but like Sin City, you know. Like
and Johnny Depp's going to be in Sin City 2
like
and 3.
Rated R, you know, that would be sweet. Yep.
Gory and shiny.
Yeah, you know, like epic.
That's awesome.
They do too much for the kids, I think, in those kind of movies.
Yeah, that's true. The thing is, you got to look at Iron Man did so great Martha. That they're already in, I guess it wouldn't be production, but they're in the part to where they're finding writers. To write the second Iron Man movie. It's already in motion for the second one to come out. So, you know, I forgot what website it is, but there's like in the next like 5 years, there's like, I think they're talking about 13 new productions out of Marvel. That's how deep they're into Marvel.
They just need to go more R-ish, darker side, they gotta stick to
the original, how the character is. And now if the character is this off the wall, goofy
like
type
Wolverine.
Of person.
Okay, yeah.
They can stay there, but if like Batman and Wolverine, they're dark,
rated R.
They're deep, dark characters. You know, they have issues and problems. Now, if they make the next Wolverine movie and make them all light and a joking type of guy,
like the last X Men movie that sucked.
Are you pissed off?
Like if they made a Jubilee movie,
you know,
it's like.
Fireworks. One thing about the last X-Men movie that pissed me off was how cartoonish it got. Now, you remember the part when, I guess, one of them ran into a group of soldiers, mm-hmm. and they made that bowling pin sound?
Yeah.
That killed it for me. When I saw that in the theater, I was this close from just saying, you know what, to be honest, I'm done. I'm done with this.
So what's your opinion then about Iron Man?
Oh well, I thought it was great. I actually like the beginning of where he's not great at Iron Man quite yet, and he's getting better and better and better.
Wait! You're disagreeing with me?
Hmm?
Are you disagreeing with me? Because if you are, you're gonna have to go home.
He drove me.
Sure.
Anyways, by the way, Cinetopia is not in Portland. It is in Vancouver, Washington.
I apologize.
The one and only, but there will be more in the Northwest.
Where's the next one going to be?
I think they're stuck between Beaverton, Oregon, and Seattle, Washington.
Ooh.
So, yeah. But I know, but they're going to make a lot more.
No, I think that guy that was the sommelier there today was talking about Beaverton.
Yeah, Beaverton, yeah. Okay.
They do have a high-def one in the Clackamas Mall, though.
They do?
Yeah.
Oh, so the new theater, high-def?
Yeah.
Oh, gosh.
But, like, I mean, I think David was talking about earlier today, that's how movie theaters are going to be now. I mean, these theaters that are just being built, that's still kind of the classic style, they're going to be out of style pretty soon.
Just like a drive-through or drive-in.
These theaters now with the restaurant inside and the wine tasting, and you can bring your food in the theater, mm-hmm. and they got the downstairs where you can lay back, and they got pillows. You can just really, I mean, that's how theaters are going to be now, and these other ones are going to be turning into the ones where if you didn't see it at this theater, then you can, you know, see it at this other theater, the one that's $1.50 or whatever.
Yeah. Stop charging for a popcorn.
Yeah, but movies. Yeah. But Iron Man, I thought was, I liked it. I'll be honest, I wasn't a huge follower with the magazine. I did know bits and pieces. I thought it was great. I did think that the movie was really built up for the second movie. I think the second one is going to be action packed. I think it's going to be this new monster or this new technology that he has to fight. I think that's going to be all across the board. Mm-hmm. I think this one, kind of like the newest James Bond movie, was he starts off, he's not really great yet. He's not as smooth yet, but he's getting better and better and better until at the very end, you're just jonesing for the second movie to come out.
Building the narrative.
Pretty much, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Who was the other Iron Man-looking dude?
But Jeff Bridges.
But no. The other superhero, but he was, like, all gray.
That was Jeff Bridges.
Okay.
No.
He called?
No, nothing. He just...
No, there was another Iron Man. Like, he was... There was
Oh, you're talking about in this movie or somewhere?
Just in the comic book.
No, in the comic book. There was an Iron Man that looked like
like him, but he was all...
He was a tea kettle?
Silver.
No, it was just the original Iron Man.
That was the original
Iron Man? Yeah, he just built... it was like the first version of him. And then, you know, I don't know when it happened. Maybe in the 60s or 70s, whatever it was. But they...
I always thought there was another guy that had the same...
Maybe there was.
Nope, you're wrong.
No, because...
You're wrong.
Because, I don't want to spoil anything either, but there is a moment to where it looked like there could be another Iron Man. I mean, it's in the movie.
It was like his enemy, but it was the same dude.
You really got to look at it, but there's a moment to where it looks like, okay, there could be a second one.
There was a silver version of Iron Man in the movie, though.
Yeah.
But it looked like Iron Man. It was a prototype.
Yeah,
there was like four or five different versions of the Iron Man.
Yeah.
Okay. He actually went flying around in silver. In the movie, and then he like pinged himself, himself.
Okay, I just always thought there was like his arch nemesis was, you know, Wolverine's
like the evil version of Iron Man. Like, good Iron Man or evil Iron Man.
Like what's the guy? The guy that always is after Wolverine.
Sabretooth.
Like Sabretooth's Wolverine.
Oh, like his nemesis.
Yeah.
I don't know anything about. Perhaps there is. I read a lot of comic books. I used to get mine used from like the dollar bin and whatever.
Yeah.
Like in the late 80s. I know, in early 90s, yeah. Well, but I used to buy them for a dollar, but they were like from like 68, 69, 70.
Yeah.
And I'm sure, you know, they're worth a pretty penny now, you know, but at the time, you know, it wasn't a big deal. So, and they were in a great condition, but, you know, for me, they were great.
Yeah. But anyway, there will be a second Iron Man.
Oh, yeah.
Samuel L. Jackson will be the evil Iron Man, or he'll be some part of it, you know. He's going to be in it, you know, somehow cursing at Iron Man.
Bitch.
Yeah. He's like, stop motherfucking flying.
Yeah.
Or something.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Required.
Yeah.
So at the end of the Iron Man, if you stay past the credits, there's a special secret scene that exists.
Yeah.
You got to check it out. If you visit the Elite Speak Live forum, go to the homepage, click on some ads, and then visit the forum. And support your guys. You know what I mean? If you want, there's a donation button on there. Click on that too. Help us out. Pay for the bandwidth at least. We're not trying to get rich on this. We love doing it. But fuck, the bandwidth costs money. So if you can help us out, help us out. But anyway, check out the forum. And there's a link that Carleone posted that shows the secret special footage that exists on there. You can have to search around.
They took it off.
The YouTube link doesn't work anymore?
Yep, they said it doesn't exist
anymore. Oh, I'll find it again.
We'll repost it. Okay, good. Thanks for the tip, Tom.
Yeah.
So we got to wrap up here. We're definitely over time, but I got to read St. Jason's email that he sent me. There's a couple of things. Okay. Yes, so this is important. Okay, so St. Jason writes, thanks once again for the mention. Really enjoying the series, just emailing out of curiosity on your Hunter on World of Warcraft. I'm assuming that it's on U.S. servers. However, on the Leet Speak website, I noticed that on Carleone's host biography, is that he has played with Athene, and he's on, and he is on European. So just thought I'd ask to clarify, if you're on Europe, I can probably get your character power leveled fairly fast. Little love. Again, thank you for the mention. The topics are all awesome, and I'm a huge fan of Magic the Gathering, D&D, World of Warcraft, and the 7th generation consoles.
Nice.
You get a little smile. Still playing HL2E2.
Half-Life 2,
yeah. Episode 2. Yeah. ADM.
Oh, yeah. I actually am a big enough nerd that I bought another account on there, and you can't register an account played in the U.S. and switch to Europe, so I had to get another account and pay for it and then log into a European server.
Oh, good man. Yeah. Dude, do that. It's fucking me.
So that's what I did.
So that's how you play with the theme? Yeah. Nice.
But his account got banned, actually, and so he just re-rolled Horde.
So. Nice. So, anyway, he doesn't know about the Lost Coast expansion. So, moving on with St. Jason's email. The only other news over here is, of course, GTA 4 just came out today, and this was posted on the 29th. So, good on him. He's on it. It's actually, I got it, was the 28th at midnight. So, he says, a friend of his said it's hard as hell. Pedestrians call the cops if they see you breaking into cars. When you break into cars, you have to break the windows, hotwire them, kill all the witnesses, and avoid that area for God knows how long. So, highly realistic, twice as hard, but also 10 times the fun. Haven't got first-hand experience playing yet. Haven't got first-hand experience playing yet, but he's just invited me over to go play. That means I get to watch him for a few hours and then get a 10-minute go on it when he gets stuck. I sent a similar message to what I thought was your email, but posted it here because I wasn't sure if it was correct in regard to the WoW server. If you want to email me at – oh, I don't want to give your email out. But if you want to email me at such and such or just comment my MySpace, I will get it as I check them both every day. Anticipating the next episode, St. Jason. Ooh. Hey, Saint, I want to say you are the man. I so appreciate your participation. Like I said, I just think you're one of the guys. You're part of the show. Yeah. So we couldn't do it without you. Thanks for all the feedback. And I was going to email you, but I wanted to wait and surprise Carleone. I wanted him to read it before I mentioned anything, before he heard it live on the air. So I'm glad that he got to check it out. Also, I appreciate all your feedback on the servers. And then he did post one more thing after that. He posted Boo's owner.
Oh, yeah.
Remember Boo?
Yep.
His owner was called Minsk. And that's a nice picture of him with his miniaturized giant space hamster. He's petting the miniature.
That's awesome.
He was a badass, like, barbarian warrior.
Hey, that's epic.
Yeah. But that was his miniaturized giant space hamster. So, again, and that was from Baldur's Gate 2. So that's the image is from. I actually might steal that for a little while, Saint, and use it as my avatar pick on the forum. So anyway, hey, this is Rapture Rabbit saying thanks for listening to episode 6. And we just appreciate all the support, all the listeners. Oh, wait, before we check out, we have to thank all of the listeners in the guild on the WoW guild. Oh, so yeah. So hold on one second here.
Thanks, Guild.
Yeah, thank you, Guild. We appreciate you.
Okay, so we want to thank all the members of Elite Speak Live Guild on the Guild roster for the World of Warcraft. So I want to thank Bloody Mind, Catsy, Christopher, Dry Ice, Druid for You, Han Jekyll, Iceburner, Cryel, Papria, Ireb, Rahib, Peppereb, Rahib, Ramil, Rapture, that's me, Rick Astley, Stormcloud, the owner, and Zazazel. So,
thanks. Rahim doesn't sound like a guild, man. It sounds like a brother from New York.
So we want to thank everyone that's joined the Elite Speak Live World of Warcraft guild. If you want to join us, we are on the server, a U.S. server called
Blood Scalp.
Check us out. Join with us. There's some high level guys, there's 70s, and there's definitely 20s and 25s and that kind of thing. We have some experts and some beginners. We're all willing to play, and there's always someone from the guild on most times because, of course, the guild leader plays
constantly.
Yeah, he's a career player.
This is actually breaking into my wild time. Still turning this up.
Okay, so this is your host Rapture Rabbit saying thanks again for signing in. I'm out.
This is Carleone.
The boy
and the Donson,
Ray Dub.
And this is us saying keep gaming, keep it real, keep it leet. We'll talk to you next time.
Enjoy yourself.
Leet.
Yep.
3, 7.